It is a privilege for me to be with you here today, and as I talk, I'd appreciate your prayers. I'm really feeling under the weather. I think I have a sinus infection and I'm on an antibiotic, but I know that the Lord will sustain me, so you just continue to pray for me as I speak. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and the Word of God will not return void. So, today we're talking a little bit about trust. Sometimes life can be a little bit confusing. I remember when I was in the marketplace, before I was a pastor, I was in the marketplace in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I had to do a business trip over to Brussels, Belgium. And while I was there for a week. I took 2 weeks after that and did some vacation, went around, and I like to ski, and although I haven't done it in a long time, I like to ski. And one of the places that I went skiing while I was there was a place called Garmisch-Partenkirchen, up in the Bavarian Alps. It was a great place to do it. In fact, you get on a gondola. When I'm talking about a gondola, I'm used to the gondolas in the United States where you have maybe six people seated in a gondola and it carries you up the mountain. Well, over in Garmisch, it was a gondola that stood 80 to 90 people. And this thing would take you up three quarters of the way up the mountain. And then when you get there, you get off that and you get on a three-person chairlift and you would take it up to the rest of the mountain. And then you would ski all the way down the bottom of the mountain, and you do that all over again. And from the top of the mountain down to the bottom, if you were skiing at a nice, comfortable pace, it'd probably take you about 30 minutes to get down the mountain. It was wonderful. I loved it. And so as I was by myself, didn't have anybody with me. And as I was skiing, every once in a while I would stop, and I would just take in the sight of the mountains. It was absolutely gorgeous. This one time I stopped. And I stopped on the edge of the trail, and on the opposite end of the trail, I noticed there was another trail that went off. And there was a sign that was there, and the sign was written in German. I don't speak German. I don't read German. So I kind of wondered, I wonder what that sign says. And those of you who have gone skiing, you know that the kind of the international symbols for skiing is that if you have a sign with a green circle on it, that means an easy slope, a beginner slope. If you have a sign with a blue diamond on it, the diamond says intermediate skiing. If you have a sign with a black square on it, the black square says it's a difficult slope. It's for expert skiers. This sign didn't have any of those markings on it at all. And so I was just standing there and I was thinking, I wonder what that slope's like. And as I was watching, these two guys came down. They were Germans. They came skiing down and good clip, and they just went off that and they went along and they went out of view. So I thought, well, if they can do it, certainly I can do it. I'm an intermediate skier. So I started to ski, and it was getting down, and I was picking up some speed, and all of a sudden, the slope went from about this kind of a slope down to this kind of a slope, and before I knew it, I was over the cliff. And there was no returning back. I put my brakes on as fast as I could, and I had my skis. One ski was there, and one ski was up here. It was about 2 feet apart, and I'm looking down there. The two guys that went ahead of me, they were already going down, and they were just traversing back and forth. I think they were Olympic skiers. I'm not an Olympic skier. So needless to say, I did get out of it safely, but not without falling. You see, the signs, I followed the culture. I followed these two Germans going where they went, and I got myself into trouble. When we follow the culture, we can get into trouble. There are some signs in our own world, in our own nation, that gets us into trouble if we're not careful. They kind of are confusing as well. In fact, in Monroeville, Pennsylvania, there's a white sign there that says, it's on a highway sign, it says, entrance only, do not enter. Okay? There's a yellow diamond sign in Mill Valley, California that says, not a through street. But then right underneath it, there's a blue sign with an arrow pointing forward. It says, evacuation routes. There's a sign in Pennsylvania that says, invisible fence now open. I'm not so sure I'm going there. There's a sign in Rome, Georgia that says, used rainbows, $250 and up. Really? I wonder if I went in there if I find a Noah's rainbow in there. And then just be sure that this is not uncommon, even in Kokomo, on the corner of Park and Lincoln Street. There is a sign on the northwest corner. There's a little field there that goes along, and there's a little sign there that says, BM, do not disturb. I won't disturb it. I'm not going to get near it. That's all right, you know. The context of the signs would be helpful because it would normalize what's going on, and the culture tries to normalize its desires, whether they're from God or not. What happens in life can become confusing in how we live and how we please God. Sometimes when we're in confusing situations, you can really feel alone, that God has left us to our own fate, and when we get to that particular situation, then we turn away from God and we kind of do things in our own way, and we forget the greatness of God. We forget that God has not left us, that He is always with us, that He loves us, that He has gifts for us. And so life doesn't have to be that confusing. And yet, we get to points in our life where we are uncertain of what to do. What should I do next? How shall I respond in this? And Solomon has written a book called Proverbs. It's part of the wisdom literature of the Bible. In fact, in the first chapter, the second verse of Proverbs, it says that he wrote it for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight. And so Solomon is really saying, are you confused? Turn to God. We're looking at Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 today. Maybe some of you, many of you have memorized it. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. So Solomon is saying, are you confused? The very first thing you need to do is to trust God. You need to put your confidence in God. And that is kind of the idea of falling down completely in God's care, having complete trust in God. It's kind of like a trust fall. When I think of it, I think of children who, you know, they're in a pool, or perhaps they're not in the pool, their dad's in the pool, right? And they're standing on the side of the pool, and the dad's saying, jump, jump. And they've got, you know, the kid's got some inflatable preservers on, you know, they're not going to get hurt at all. There's no danger there, but they don't know that. And so their father is saying, jump, I'll catch you. Sure you will, Dad. You know, I'm not so sure about this. Go ahead, jump. And they coax him, and they finally get him to the point where the kid will jump and the father does catch him. Well, what's the first thing the kid says after that? Do it again, Dad, do it again, right? You want to do it over and over again. It's the kind of the trust fall that you know that your Heavenly Father is going to catch you no matter what happens, and He's going to provide for you. I remember my oldest son, when I lived in Indianapolis, in our backyard, we had this very large tree. In fact, the stump of the tree, I think, was 4 foot in diameter. It was huge. And about maybe 5 feet up, the branches started to branch out to make this this tree in all the directions. And the branches themselves were so thick, they were about as thick as most trees planted in the ground. And it was a lot of area that you could get up in that tree and you could just sit. And so my kids loved to climb it, and we nailed some boards up there to make it like a pseudo treehouse. Nothing like that master treehouse, whatever that thing's called on cable. Nothing like that, but just put things up there so that we'd keep them up in the thing. Well, before we did that, the first time my son Aaron wanted to go up in the tree, he said, Dad, I want to climb the tree. He's about 5 years old, and I picked him up and I stuck him on the limb. He says, I want to climb the tree. And I said, go ahead and climb it. There were a lot of trees, a lot of limbs coming out of that tree, and they were very big limbs. There was nothing to be fearful about. But he kept saying, I can't do it, Dad. What if I fall? He's looking down. What if I fall? Dad, I said, Aaron, you just need to grab the branch and put your foot on the next branch, and you can do it. You'll be all right. Well, this went on for about 5 minutes, and finally I got a little frustrated. Out of my frustration, I said, Aaron! Stop looking down and look up. He looked. He started looking up. And the next thing he did, he started grabbing those branches. He started climbing. And before I knew it, he was at the top of the tree. You see, he needed a little bit of wisdom about not worrying about what was below you, but look up what your goal is. Your goal is to climb the tree and look up and trust God in that. And so Solomon's saying, don't lean on your own understanding. He says, first of all, trust God. Don't lean on your understanding. I mean, obviously, if we understood the situation, we wouldn't be confused, right? We wouldn't be in a panic situation. So why do we look to ourselves? We have the sinful nature. I have the sinful nature about me. It doesn't want to please God. It's all about me. It's all about who I am and what I want to do. And so in Romans chapter 8, it even says that living by the nature means that we have set our mind on what the nature desires. You see, the sinful nature brings death. The sinful nature causes you to turn away from God and to bring death. That's what Satan is about. That's all he wants to do, is to cause death in your life. And the sinful nature is right along with Satan. And so our battle is that our spirit, which is alive in Christ, is trying to get us to do the good things, but our nature, our sinful nature, is trying to do what it wants to do, which is please itself. The sinful nature cannot please God. And so if we are confused, we should not look to ourselves. You know, it is different than what the world tells us. The world tells us we should look to ourselves. In fact, there is a magazine in New York that has said that the self-help movement is an $11 billion a year industry. Over 45,000 books are on the shelf for self-help, and it's according to the society's norms. But someone has said being lost is living by a set of values that systematically dismantles your life. You know, you're looking to the get-rich schemes, or you're focused on materialism and power, but Solomon says no. Trust God first. Acknowledge God, and what will God do? God will make your path straight. Now, he's talking about making your path straight. It's not necessarily that he's going to tell you what job to have or what woman to marry if you're single and you're thinking about that. It's not necessarily that. The straight path that he's talking about is the morally right and wrong. What is right and what is wrong? So if we put this passage in context, look at the preceding verses before it. Proverbs is talking about loving people. In verses 3 and 4 it says, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man." And then if you look at the passage, that's about loving others. And then the passage in verses 7 and 8 is about loving God. "Do not be wise in your own eyes," Solomon writes. "Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones." You see, when we are confused and we don't know what to do, God knows what to do. We need to turn to God. I was reading this article about a scuba diver. This journalist was interviewing a scuba diver, a guy who scuba dived in the ocean. He did a lot of rescue things and research and development, all that. So he was describing his scuba diving and how he would go down into the water, and the deeper he got into the water, into the ocean, the darker it got. In fact, you get to a certain depth in the ocean, and there is no light that penetrates the ocean at that depth. It is pitch black. It'd be like walking into a room and closing all the doors, no windows in the room, and you wouldn't be able to see the hand in front of your face. That's how dark it gets down there. And, of course, he has to have these lights, flashlights, or big, big, powerful lights in order to be able to do his research down there. And so he said that the problem is that when you get down to that depth and you begin to not see any light, you can be disoriented. And since you're swimming and you're kind of like in this weightlessness, you don't know which way is up. And if you're not careful, you could be swimming thinking you're going to the surface when you're actually going deeper. And so the journalist says, "Well, what do you do in that?" He says, "Isn't it a panicky situation?" And the diver said, "Well, yeah, it can get panicky if you don't, you know, if you're not trained." But he said, "What I do when I get to that point is I just stop and I feel the bubbles. The bubbles always go to the surface. The bubbles never lie. The bubbles always go back to the surface of the water, to where air is. It leads to oxygen. It leads to life." And so what Solomon is saying is that if we are confused in our life and not knowing what to do next, to look for the bubbles of God, that God's Word are the bubbles that will lead us to life. And so look for God for that wisdom. God not only gives us wisdom, though, for moral issues, right and wrong, He also gives us wisdom on decisions. I mean, consider Proverbs. Proverbs was given to Solomon because Solomon asked for wisdom when he became a king. In 2 Chronicles, God says to Solomon, "What would you want as you begin your reign as king of Israel?" And Solomon says, "Give me wisdom and knowledge to go out and come in before this people, for who can rule this great people of yours?" And so the fruit of that request was he wrote the book of Proverbs. Even in the New Testament, the very first book that was written in the New Testament is the book of James, the letter of James. James is written to the people who are scattered because of persecution. Their faith, they're being persecuted because of their faith. And And one of the first things that James says to this group of people who are scattered among the nations is, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and unstable in all he does. You see, notice, if you're in a situation where you're confused or disoriented, what you need to do is to ask for wisdom. And gaining wisdom is dependent upon seeking God with all of your heart, asking Him specifically for wisdom, believing that you will receive it, not just asking it and then go off and doing what you want to do, but waiting to hear what God says to you, trusting God with all of your heart that He's going to speak to you. Several months ago, I was in my home. I have a two-story home, and at the top of the stairs, I was at the very top of the stairs, and I don't remember what happened, but something happened that was very disorienting to me, and I became very confused. I was some event. I remember I was angry. I didn't know how to respond to it. Truthfully, though, do not remember the event. And I remember being at the top of the stairs thinking, I was just so beside myself, I didn't know how to respond. I didn't know if I should go downstairs, or if I should go to the phone, or if I should go to my computer, or what I should do. I was just beside myself. And so I remembered James. And so I just leaned against the wall. And I said, Lord, I don't know what to do in this. Give me wisdom. And just waited. Stood at the top of the stairs. And I felt this sense of peace come over me. Situation didn't go away. I just felt a sense of peace come over me. The next thing that happened is, this is what I need to do now. I knew the first step that I needed to do. Didn't solve the problem. I just knew the first step. So I went and did the first step, completed it. It led me to a second step. It led me to a third step. And before I knew it, whatever the issue was, it was solved within the next hour because of listening to God. But you know, had I not listened to God, I may have done something that I would have regretted later. I may have gone off and done something and reacted in a way that was not honoring to God and not loving of people. And so what I was doing is I was looking for the bubbles of God, the bubbles of trust, to say, Lord, how do I get to the surface? How do I go back to where there's life? How do I go back to where your wisdom is? The knowledge of right and wrong living, the knowledge of loving others, what do I do for others? The knowledge of pleasing God in all that I do. How do I enable that? And so, are you ever confused? The first thing you need to do is trust God, to look for the bubbles, to ask yourself these questions. What does God's word say about staying out of immoral situations? Asking yourself, how do I love others as God has loved me? How can I make disciples of Jesus Christ, as God has commanded me to do that? If you're confused, reach for the bubbles to say, Lord, and the bubbles are the Word of God, to say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do in my life? Oh, Lord God, we do pray that you would help us to gain wisdom from your Word, that you would put in our hearts a deep hunger and a deep thirst to know your Word, that we would know what is morally right, that we would know how to love our neighbors, ourselves, that we would know how to love and to bless you. Lord, in those times when we are angry or when we're confused, help us to take a moment and stop, to listen to your word, to listen to your spirit, to go in the direction you want us to go. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's men said, Amen.